Maybe we just continue our discussion on this topic. And I had a very wonderful discussion with, I heard many things from Dhania in the tea break. And it would be lovely if you could share with us this kind of pool of research and knowledge. And it would be valuable to have it as a separate presentation, but because it is so true now, in this moment of time, maybe a few things you can just mention. It would be lovely if you start with that. Because it makes it so concrete, so real, this thing. The memory. What is the memory, by the way? Memory is nothing but what? What is that? It's a piece of that pool of time which created once some piece of matter somewhere, concretized itself, yes, expressed itself, and then it is plugged still to that pool. It knows it by identity in some way. So that heart transplant was a very interesting anecdote. Or some other...
I think that it's not about the heart transplant. There's a book about it also. Pearsall is his name. It's called The Heart's Code. But he did a whole research on heart transplantations. And he did a whole research on heart transplantations. And what he found out, and he gives quite some examples, that when a heart is transplanted, for instance, from one person to the other, the person, the recipient of the heart, goes through major identity changes. But even to the extent that the heart that's taken over from another person has somehow its own identity, that becomes most, it became most evident in one occasion where I think it was the man who had received a new heart was having intercourse with his wife, and at a climax he called out for a name which was definitely not his wife's. And when they recalculated where the heart came from, and you could talk with the partner of the person that deceased, they found out that it was that person's name that was being called out. Based on that, there's a whole assumption that there's actually a transference of not just organ, but a field of consciousness that gets transferred with an organ, in a sense. The heart organ of the cell is, of course, not just a piece of dense matter, but it's a field of consciousness and matter. Ultimately, it's just not made in space. So something gets transferred from it that, if you're not conscious of it, needs its own life. It needs to be integrated. And not just its own life, it needs to have its own memory, its own sense of time. It's sort of like a counterexample to what I said earlier, where the limitation of matter is so clear. In this case, it's human athletic acid. From one moment to the other, in 1 minute of time, the cancer literally disappeared and didn't come back. You see it on the screen. In this case, the consciousness of one person's heart sustains itself in time and persists within the context of another person's identity. So there's sort of like two sides of the coin, you could say. But what you're basically looking at is this mutation that is possible because identities that are sort of like created or wrapped around the perspective of time,
how
the space and self, they can shift, and they can shift any time. And you don't have to be an enlightened being for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there that happens anyway. If you apply yourself and allow yourself to be, could say, infused or taken over by another state or another identity. And for shamanism, has also some of those indicators there, although that comes from a different direction.
How was the time space, actual time space between operation and this experience?
That I should have, I would have to look back.
Because it would be interesting also, if there's then later a shift or something.
But you also spoke about that you can find when you go to your imaginative space or the space of your experience where you had something very good experienced in life and reconnection to it can, and also other spaces of from the childhood.
It's not so unique, but they found a clever way to sort of like modernize the concept about intentionality. But they have a specific technology where you go actually to what they call the heart space or focus of your heart. And they've measured the electromagnetic field of the heart.
Which is very high. Which is one of the highest force fields we have.
It's the strongest of the whole body. If you compare it to the electromagnetic field of the brain, it's much smaller and less strong. So they found out that if you can create a correlation between the brain electromagnetic field and that of the heart, you can create an entrainment or a coherence pattern. And you do that by going, if you're in some state of mind that is not conducive to the activity that's happening, you're confused with that. And you go into that heart space and focus on that area. And then you hold for probably a minute or so an experience, an image that you can recollect from the time that you were very happy or very nurtured. It can be anywhere in time and space. And it is basically a memory that you're reactivating in present time, which becomes present. But by doing that and fully giving yourself to that within 1 minute, you can be in a coherence pattern that takes you out of that mind state that is not conducive to you. And then you can be engaged in that new coherence pattern in a very constructive way, instead of it going more inside or outside. So, but it's just to say there's so much in that field at the moment, in psychosomatic medicine. Neuroimmunology and all of that, where you can see all these correlations, and one has to understand that all the time, as I'm speaking now, there are different realities in me that operate in different time, space, frequency, you could say. I gave an example to Vladimir about when you're in a state of anger. Say you're really upset. Now, I might get a little bit confused and I might get a little bit imbalanced in the mind even, but if I can apply myself with, I can sort of like bring it down a few notches. But on a physiological level, what I've probably done is to activate a hormonal system that doesn't work like that. Once it kicks in, it takes 4 hours for that reactivity that brings up a certain hormonal pattern that is reactive to sort of subside. So even in a mind space, if I've sort of done my homework on a hormonal level, it doesn't apply itself right now, and it has its own reality. So if I'm aware of that, I can sort of be a bit compassionate off to myself and say, look, at least I did this, but my body still has to run its course. Nevertheless, if I use the HeartMath method, I might be able to even bring a coherence between the mind and the heart that accelerates maybe in the release of like balancing of the hormonal system. But all of that is sort of like telling us that different parts of us are actually living in different realities in time, space, identities. Actually almost qualify them as different identities. My hormonal identity, my emotional identity, talk about consciousness, you know, the question is, well, what kind of consciousness are we again talking about? That of the heart transplant. It's a very different consciousness than our own consciousness, or what we've been talking about in terms of gifts. And yet we have to find those connecting lines, so that it starts to make sense, experientially, in our daily life.
In the Latina method, you can, when you go into your heart region, you can really see that, and that can really be very strong. And you see yourself in different states, and you know, it's very, yeah, if you don't know about it, you are frightened.
Well, this is the other thing, once you start activating or assessing, go to say different identities and therefore also different karmas. You have a different view. Otherwise, when this activated has overwhelmed you, and now it's an opportunity to really traumatize yourself rather than going with it. Yes, so you need some caution, especially new methods.
What brings me to think about these sanskaras in Buddhism, the terms, what are these? What are these memories of that time pool creativity in certain terms? It created this body somewhere by those means which it created. It has consequences, it acted already in the world. It connected itself to the world in particular patterns which are responding, other patterns are not responding. Now you can imagine this complexity of every individual coming here to Auroville from all over the world, bringing his time on his shoulders, his complexity, and trying to work it out here.
That you start to work on. Why you become an instrument for For me.
It's basically a ritual constellation. Yes, it's a ritual which brings those energies behind that into action, and they can be resolved to a certain extent. Those knots and those energetic problems, they can come into action here now, into conscious action, and be resolved. It's a very particular ritualistic, interesting action. You are not there, a person, yourself. You are a mask. You are representing the force of that kind. And these forces are acting.
Yes. I have been once the mother of somebody, and I didn't believe anything about it. And then I acted in a way, I saw the mother and me, and it wasn't me. And it was exactly what the mother of this person did. I didn't believe, I still don't believe.
It's a similar thing in theater, the sacred role in theater, that one opens the vessel for forces and energy.
Yeah. Also, in family constellation, they say that it happens.
We are discussing family constellation.
What are we discussing? These are just examples.
Memory. What is memory? Time. What is memory?
Identity.
Yes.
But there is one thing that Chopra Dipra said, the conscious thing, for instance, women. He explains them what it is and what they can change in their thinking. So these women go home and they don't have cancer anymore for some months, for a year or so. And then they come back and have cancer again because something happened in their memory. They were happy not to have it, but something says there, but it shouldn't work. You should have cancer. And then the cancer comes back. And there is a moment where the doctor cannot do anything anymore. So this has to come from the person again. Sometimes it works two times. But a third time she will die. And then he has no answer.
Same.
There is a very famous medical example of that, where a person went through some kind of like trial medical treatment, and they didn't know what the outcome would be. But by the end of that trial medical treatment, they said that it was really a very effective treatment. And the person walked out, was healed, was fine. Then a couple months later, half a year later, the person read in some kind of news article about this treatment, and that it was actually not effective. The person immediately came in and became severely ill. And I think he went up one more time, and then another time the person went down and died. Primarily because of subscribing to one belief of a medical outcome, or a medical experience, or another.
So the mother's experience with the red pill in the ashram. For years, the red simple pills had an effect for healing always. And then one came later, years later, and then said there's no substance in it, find out. It's just a red pill. And then the mother said, now stop, because when the it goes into consciousness and they don't believe animals will not work anymore.
So in that first one, you might assume that if you get a red pill, this person medical approach, and then you might touch on something that is magically
accessed.
Yeah, there was a face. Right, but then the mental comes in and puts basically questions it. But if you go beyond that with intentionality, you might be able to sustain that condition of being healed or meditation as a big place, kind of like unconscious to go back. Just saying that, you know, but I mean, there's something like that for both.
The
please.
This maybe not does not help, by the way. Yes, yes.
Yeah, the conscious
I mean, maybe it's not possible to sustain it. And I say that because I remember reading something from that the mother said recently about Sri Aurobindo healing people. Is using his force to heal people. And she said that they observed this many times, that the person would be healed, but later the problem would come back. And so it could be that if there's a realignment with some well identity, which works for some time, but the reality of the material structure, which creates the energy field of the identity, where there's a relationship between the identity, between the form or the person and the material energy field, that that can't, the substantiality of that substratum of the energy structure can't be definitively changed with even the most powerful occult force. It can be realigned and for a while carry a different identity, but this relapse seems to be inherent in the evolutionary nature of the structure itself.
That could be just a thought. That sits in your energy field and it has a lot of force. Now, you could replace it with another thought and say, what about this wonderful research by the Institute of Poetic Sciences that shows, and other doctors also, all this, this evidence about spontaneous remission, where basically the person has written off because your condition is just hopeless, you can't solve this with no science, you know, you can have a death or whatever. And yet, there's a lot of evidence now that people actually had a spontaneous remission and it basically endured for the rest of their lives. The one thing that we've not overcome, this is whole question about immortality, so ultimately you can say, well, that's the point.
The mother was using that example to reinforce the idea that an essential change in the nature, no, not in consciousness, in matter itself, an essential evolution of matter itself would make it possible for the form to have complete control over the material substratum. So far, the material substratum has evolved to a point where the spiritual formation has a lot of influence on it, but not absolute influence on it, because matter itself is still not that transparent to the spiritual level. And so we're constantly coming back to this duality between structure and form. And it reminds me that in medieval philosophy, which was also medieval religion and medieval magic and medieval healing and the birth of science and all of that, there was a common idea among the church doctors that what we know about something, we know by virtue of its intentional species, its intentionality. The mind is able to receive the intelligible species of the thing, while the material itself, it can't know. So throughout, you know, throughout the development of Western thinking, there has been an awareness, some kind of a perception of the relationship between the essence of the thing, its form, its personality, its knowability, and its physical structure. But we still haven't figured out exactly what that relationship is.
Sure. And I think we can all agree on that. But from a relative point of view, if you would put a beat out to a person, that kind of statement out to a person who is sick, and is looking for a next step beyond conventional medicine, that you can give a person any hope, you would probably have an effect that wouldn't encourage or convince the complete discursive person. Whereas if you take a relative point of view and identify it with that person, say, well, what could I offer there without having to based my perspective in the question, is take up a relative point of view and say, look, spontaneous remissions are happening. Intentional experiments have shown results, not ultimate results, but results that are useful for you from the point of suffering. So I think that's where we need to navigate what we say and to whom we say why.
Yeah, that's the difference between the doctor's mentality and the philosopher's mentality. Some are trying to use knowledge to persuade, and some are just interested in the truth.
Well, that's interesting.
This is also the change.
In the person in question that was dealing with your daughter, he might not use a philosopher.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
I think there are too many variable factors to talk about lasting cures. I mean, we're talking about the receptivity of the person. And, we're talking about I think from a Gebser's point of view, to look at this whole idea of memory and identity and consciousness is to realize that all of these structures of consciousness are available to us, the magic, the mythic, and the emotional. And our bodies are also constructed like that. This idea of dying to the physical body is very different from the past. The idea of heart's time, the emotional body's time, is very different to the mental. I mean, I think of a happy incident and it's immediately present. Whereas for my mind, oh my God, I was climbing this mountain a year ago. But if I, so there are all these different structures of time that are available to us. And it's a question of where are we intensifying our consciousness? And this is where I was trying to get at with you. That if you can shift the consciousness and hold it there, and then it depends how long can you hold it there. Because when it's cured, when there's a relapse of the disease, maybe that they can't fully hold that shifted consciousness anymore.
And how field dependent is it? Like you're supposed to be a community that is holding a field that is actually producing the transformation.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
If I have a family that's supported, this is again medically proven.
Yeah.
The person might have more chance of being a survivor of cancer 5 years from now than the person who has a family system that disapproves of your specific strategy for dealing with cancer. And they find out it's actually more important to support the person whatever they decide to do as an approach to deal with that cancer. And to start saying, oh, I know a lot about that, that's a rocket team, I know, you know, and we shouldn't have, we should believe. No, you have to actually see where you can intensify the consciousness of that person that believes that this is the best for that person. You know. And then it has some result.
Yeah, you know, actually, there was a saying where the mother says, if you can change the consciousness of the cells, then cancer can be cured. Because cancer is essentially a cell losing its rhythm. Multiplies too fast, multiplies like a parasite. And she says that you can reverse it, but I mean, it's a huge work to intensify your consciousness and put it, to identify it in the cell of your body. It's
like, I think that's what Gebser possibly talks about, the concretizing. If the change is only in consciousness, I think again this duality between the change of consciousness and the process, the change in the substantial stratum of structure. And for me, I like it that you started the presentation with where he says the way to integration is not, it's not a way and it's not a path, it's a leap. And for me immediately, remember from the charter basically that we have that laid out, if Aravind boldly springs or leaps towards the future. And for me, interesting now to see when Mother also talks about the law of nature and that the new supramental force basically doesn't work under any of its parameter. So it seems like that a leap is the only way of chance. It's something else into a complete different state. And so there's no linearity. And the whole question so far, we understand evolution in a linear way. This happened, this was before, then this life came, and then the mind came. But those actual moments, the first person was standing erect and in that linearity, we don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
Or all the inventions, how they happen actually. And that's why it's so interesting that you stopped the presentation on that aspect of creativity. Because I remember in thinking, there was 25 years ago, I met once this Edward de Bono, lateral thinking. And for me it was so interesting how he explained our normal thinking process and how to get out of it. He just made a chart and says we usually go through all the dead end roads and have to go back and track our ways. And he said lateral thinking, or what happens in inventions and creativity, is a jump of the synapses in the brain. The neural pathways, they don't have to run along them, they basically jump and create something new. And so for me, it's symbolic, I mean, of what I got from today's. And it's based in Aravich, he said, we have to spring boldly forwards. So it's not a step-by-step process as the mind would like to have it, and since then we know how it is and stuff, because the unknown, how can we get to the unknown? How can we get into that new?
You know what I was thinking about recently about the movies? When the character does something wrong, and then he wants to disappear somewhere, and he can't disappear, it seems. He will be found by some kind of, somebody will trace him down. How come? He cannot disconnect from all his plugs and his network of thinking, of habits, of forms and formations. He cannot. So the other person who will plug into his network of thinking, he will find him. He will trace him. He cannot become somebody else. He doesn't know how to do it. It's an amazing thing. That's what that matrix we carry with us.
Yes.
And we think, why don't we change? Why don't we really progress? We carry too much.
And the current detector will be saying, what he can do this time, concentrate, how he will react with the crying person. He concentrates, he enters his network.
He will cheat he in this way, he will show this, he will do this. And exactly he does that. Why? Because he cannot become somebody else altogether. He cannot switch off from his identity and take another identity. And if he do that, he will bring all that network into action in that identity and will be recognized and found. Is it not funny?
Mean mother in her process in the body, when she talks about this laborious work and the detailed labor and all of that, but all the experiences which come to her, they come out of the blue. They are in the bathroom and in some activities she didn't think of it in the middle of the night or during an activity. And that jump actually, I think that's what we're groping in one way. Having this, becoming more aware how we're working, how thinking, speaking, system, everything works. But what does it mean? We give causes, even some people in our consciousness of the selves. What does it mean? I think we still see it through our mental perspective. I think consciousness of the selves is probably, we cannot even talk about it.
Doing what you're suggesting all the time. Because she was in that that space of creativity and timelessness. And so every individual who sat in front of her had, for a moment, the opening to the universe, and their identity could become whatever it could potentially become. And there was an awareness with that moment also that potentially had actually been opened. And this was a permanent action that she was doing with everyone every day. And it was possible sometimes to observe her from a distance in the room, working with someone and creating that field. And in that field, the person suddenly opened to her own possibilities. And so this energy itself, this integral consciousness, is consciousness of by identity, but not just with the person's identity formation, not with who the person is currently identifying with, but who the person can be in the timelessness of potentiality. But also with who the person is now, no doubt, because that's the link to to the infinite. But that infinite is a real infinite. It's a concrete infinite. And so what really happens to the person in that aureate opening in time is also a very concrete possibility.
And at the same time, perhaps the person is not able to hold on to that experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a realization, it's an experience. And has to acknowledge that the instrument is not ready as an entertainer to hold that force, to hold that presence.
It brought back to the mental structure.
So we brought back to saying, well, what is it that I need to do to make this instrument more transferable to that presence? And then you come back to, again, identify through the mental certain aspects of one's identity that needs to be helped to move on. And that might look a bit more like work and time, assuming and so on. But I think we oscillate between those two, where hopefully you have a couple of experiences occasionally that indicate that possibility, and at the same time, often, you know, going back to an over-identification for whatever reasons with just the instruments and its own terms. Yet, the thing of spontaneous remission and spontaneous healing, I find very interesting for the people. Because some of it is because of pure intentionality. But some of it doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. Whether you have done a lot of work on this sort of work or not. But it's just the fact you should not have been recovering from the severe illness. Statistics are totally against it. And yet, there's a certain percentage of people that just have spontaneous remission of their illness. As you say, many variables.
Mother was speaking about this all the time, that people project on her their belief system that she has to be old or she is old, what would happen, she has to already kind of to pass. She felt it was like sticky thing on her, from everywhere, from every thought, from every feeling, from every look, hidden net of things coming. And that had to change. So with her kind of higher identity, she was dealing with that every time.
But this is in our society, not here, but in Europe. When you get at a certain age, you're supposed you cannot do this, you cannot do this. This is for old people, and you know, old people are sick and stupid and whatever you can think of. And if you agree with it, here, it will happen to you. And this is the society. There are a lot of old people just because somebody says they are old. They have shops for old people. They have books for old people. Everything for old people. So really, this is revolting when you are in that age. And people believe it. And they have all the diseases.
But that's also a new thing, yeah? Compared to before, was also respect to older people and the love and the care for the soul. That is also was before, yeah? And that's quite a new step in the last, I don't know,
20, 30 years. Yeah.
Margaret was telling me that there were even in Germany they had even signs, children should not play in this yard.
50, 60s, yes, totally.
Oh. Not to play for children,
life.
No.
It was very awful in the 50s, 60s, that's why the movement had been so strong in Germany, to change everything.
Well, not only for people, but also for different races. In the US, in 61 only, it was cancelled. But still.
But he relaxed into his youth again. Two months
later. I didn't hear that part of the story.
I have a question on that. What I hear here, I mean, I think for us, which is relevant, how can that, if consciousness is anywhere, if we are there in the midst of this change of consciousness, and Mother often, she talked about this flip side, you know, it's one time it is like there, we're completely in the new world, and then again the old world. And so it seems that what I hear, that the relax is actually in the instrumentation, is in the system, is in the memory, is in the subconscious. And that's why for me very interesting when Gebser again to this riddle, where he talks about the four structures before they have to be concretized. They have to be, it's not just experiencing them or integrating them, something has to happen with our magical experience, with the archaic experience, with the mystic experience in the system, within the vessel, within the instrument, that once this experience, this structure is clear or transparent, yeah, and in a concrete way, so it's not in an abstract way, because the mental always, the tendency is to work with abstractions and then symbolize the abstractions and stuff like this. But the interesting thing, what does it mean actually? You know, to have the mystic strata of our history, to have it concretized.
But this is the limitation of the mind. And I'm sure Rod will make presentation on it, and we will see that what happened to Sri Aurobindo in the same way, that once you rise to the highest level of the mind, and from there you see everything, what is happening to Gapso, he has intuitions, but he is looking it from the higher mind sometimes, with those intuitions, towards this strata of consciousness which is below it. Yeah? He cannot really, he knows that something comes from above, but he doesn't know how it looks. And he says, it's like we are describing the landscape which we never saw. How would you really draw the landscape you never saw? So that's how he does it, yes? But he says that once we see it, that's something else. And for that the leap is needed. It's not enough to know what we know. Yes, concretization, yes, it's all to that, but it is within that context of the highest possibility of the mind looking back to its beginnings. It's not yet beyond mind. It's not yet in that intuition. It's maybe the highest illumined mind capacity to see down, as Sri Aurobindo described it, in the self of mind in the second book. And it is exactly what he sees. He has an experience of the whole. He knows everything. He understands everything, nearly as Gebser. And then there is a luminous finger falls from somewhere else and shows that all that he knew is not true. Now there is another kind of quality knowledge comes in, and that leap is needed to the beyond to really bring that structure in. So in Gebserian terms, he comes to the end of the possibilities of describing that new thing in these terms of the mind. If we see it like this, we will be safe, by the way. And we will see many more things. We will learn from his own expression and his own way of finding the answers. Not to take him as a pure God. It's necessary also to take it as a pure God and then to feel and to see where limitations are. And he defines them himself in the second book.
Came to me the work what Claire and Sandrine is doing with Arno Stern, that is something like this. They have a room and they have this color and do the painting. They just come from inside, and then they found out over a lot of years of research work, they're real in phases, how the people, the children and the adults, and they paint all in the same way. In a special structure, what is out of an archaic remembering, they paint it, and then through this a healing happens through all the people over a long time, and they do, it depends to people, and then a new creativity is coming out. So this is, I think it's quite an interesting experiment what is going on here in our will also, on this point, archaic structures.
What's doing that?
Claire and Sandrine, they do it in the Arno Stern was here, I think 2 years ago, and gave a workshop to the teacher. And they do this. It is a formation, it is called, and there's also literature too.
Another Gebser trigger before we also Ursula and Samasti.
Yeah.
Even personally, yeah. She has got all these books signed up that then.
I actually asked her a week ago if she would be, how to say it, ready to share, because it was a very interesting story. She basically was a nurse in a hospital, and he was bedridden for over months, and Ursula was caring for him, and he was quite upset and angry and not in a good mood. And Ursula was young, and she was interested. She was a reader, a good reader, and then he gave her a book, and then she responded to him, and he completely brightened up that he had in his late years somebody in the hospital who was interested in his work.
So it's just younger
than
I would not
hear. Yeah. And I was personally also happy because I basically, when I heard that story, so that there is this direct link in one way. I think that brought Ursula also to our within one way. The connection is bonding.
Yeah. Ursula is an eternal being. Sweet Ursula. He's not changing for the last 20 years.
In that case, also interesting if you talk about how to say, again, integration and the reaching those higher realms of the mind, because he was not embodying, but he was rather cranky and a difficult person, actually, and very not happy that his last son was not recognized in the life.
Some people thought the mother was cranky and difficult. And if you read her descriptions of her own state of mind, sometimes she is cranky and difficult. Yeah. So there's this fluctuation that the evolutionary being has leaps and insights and then runs into walls and falls into pits. It's not a consistent process.
And we share also networks. We should not forget that.
Yeah.
It's not only our thoughts. There are also conditions that we have to share. other's faults.
And also, I think the mother was actively experimenting with the consciousness. I remember reading this passage in the agenda. Mm-hmm. When she talked about the mother seeing her as an old woman, and she says, "I've sent the mind packing." I mean, it's so amazing to think, will the body walk if there is no mind? We do it automatically. We don't think. We say, okay, it's lunchtime, we get on our bikes and we go. It's actually the body pushing the mind pushing the body to move to space. And if you were to take that out and you're only left with the body's consciousness, the magic mythic consciousness, how would you move to time and space?
Magic and arcade. Finally, just pure arcade. And
okay, whatever, but just the body consciousness
of
that too.
It's
that's
it. But there are ways, maybe not to do the mother did, but to get better consciousness. They are being experimented. Not so much here.
But she was doing good things. She was allowing herself to be at that most basic
exactly.
level, but at the same time, she was channeling into it the highest range of frequencies.
Right.
So the question was, can this matter respond to that universal, transcendental, integral direction? Can it become an instrument of that without the mind telling it what to do? That's beyond our concern, you know.
How do you know that's not happening all the time?
It is happening all the time, that's what he says. The problem here is only one that because Gebser uses this mind, the highest capacity of the mind itself, and looks back, and for him archaic is the beginning. He doesn't see and doesn't have the same yet idea that it comes from another, so to say, supramental is at the same time emerging and also descending. It is meeting us in the future. What does it mean? We are kind of enclosed in this. Archaic is, in his view, it's always a ground, something to which we have to be transparent. He doesn't see the dynamism yet. He mistakes it for the transparency in structures yet. He doesn't see that that truth, archaic truth, so to say, has its own dynamism. It seems to me, as far as I know, for now, Gebser. He doesn't see yet that dynamic truth coming from that realm in the future. And that's why Shubhendu says that the realization of the supermind is not needed to realize the self, the static Brahman. But the realization of the static Brahman is indispensable for the realization of the dynamic truth of the supermind. Now look at this. This static Brahman, or archaic consciousness, is absolutely needed for something else, which it doesn't have, so to say. So there are as if two different loops from the mind, from the perspective of the mind he has.
If you look at what you just said and what you shared, just from the body's perspective, you ask, well, what would the body do? What has the body been doing for this past 3 hours? With what we either meditating and sharing and feeling and sensing and stuff. It might mainly on that intellectual level, you can say, what has the body been doing? It would be very relevant. And what good would the body do if we would not have a collective field of agreement that we sit in chairs upright? And based on that, we have an intellectual, psychological sharing that goes on for 3 hours. The body would absolutely not do that. And yet, we have to find a way that in the future the body has as much relevance and inclusion in this process that we talk about in the world, as what we talk about. So what do we do if we start next week a conversation and we try to be including the body from the first second? It will be a totally different feeling, I can tell you.
There is a dance party tonight.
I mean, that's for people who do but to consciously engage the body.
And it might modulate maybe more consciously between maybe different expressions of different structures.
It might be a total waste of time to do that.
Yes.
No, wait a minute.
What the mother...
This is interesting. Yeah. I wasn't finished yet. So now my body is a little bit contracted because it says, oh, right, that's interesting. You cut in there and you want to redirect it. So on an intellectual level, on a communication level, I want to explore. Why did you actually do that? Because I felt very comfortable. And now there's a little bit of...
I was thinking that what the mother was doing had a different intention than what you're suggesting.
But what am I suggesting?
Well, you're suggesting that we become more conscious of the body and we use a kind of mental process to do that. But what we have been glimpsing, I think, a little bit before that, was that first she managed to connect with that highest power of integral consciousness. And then allow the mind and the vital to become quiescent and see if that can work directly on the physical. That's different from us exploring what the physical will do if we're not discussing something without, you know, in our normal way. So that could be a process for us to experiment with. But it seems that the integral yoga wants us to do two things. She was doing two things. Let the physical be totally receptive and be totally conscious of it. But be connected with that which is totally beyond the mind, which is a force, so that we create a deliberate channel for the physical.
I fully agree on that. I can take up the position also intellectually. I also know that we've taken up intellectually a position, not with regard to the body, but with regard to equality, for instance, where you say, look, you cannot just wait till you have life and then everything else will follow. We have to be actively engaged all around the world where we affect our issues or the environment, the world, art, and so on, with whatever instrumentation. Now, I mean, this is maybe a misinterpretation of what I have to say at some point. It's very much in my own words. But what I try to point out, I can see you taking up different positions. Now, I'm getting more curious why you basically present this today, but in another context, present almost the opposite. And I could do the same. But I'm getting curious what it is that does that.
Complementarity.
And I'm also curious about whether you fully understood what I'm trying to say, because it wasn't about an exhibition of vital, archaic, sort of liberties. It was just more an exploration of it. If you put a question to yourself, you're trying to engage with your body, it might have some very simple wisdom. To a more inclusive experience of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think that could include checking in sometimes with your bodies, or maybe checking in a group, like, well, what would you have done in the last half hour if you had a group? You might still have a very open conversation and exploration. But we might have also explored something else that we feed into with new information.
Yeah, it's a building a network, by the way. It's a building that particular field in which we can share time reservoirs in a way which we can't do otherwise. That's basically what we are doing here.
Time, my body is very eventually level. It's ready to go. My mind can go on forever. My body, in a way, is half an hour.
You spoke about lunch or something?
For me, I have one question that people like you tell from the physical, and all this what their minds, the mental physical, the vital physical, it's in general what we speak, people speak about when we speak about the physical. The physical, and there I have what's another the work did. It's quite tough and and quite, how you say, it's another, or it has to be looked at it. What kind is it about? Even if the translation of the organ is there, it could be a vital mindset which goes with this or so. So this has to be here to look at all things. It's very easy to get used to physical, which are clear what it is experienced or meant by it.
That might be also that could also, just as we talked about, having some peak experiences of some kind of nature, say, look, the meditation instrument is not ready to sustain that. Those experiences can happen on any level, not just on higher, so-called higher level, they can also happen on the vital level, they can also happen on the physical level. As soon as somebody, the personality of the form of being, is able to be sort of like put to the background, there might be a type of into that. Even if it's momentum current. I think that's what I'm trying to talk to. It's not that, and that's why I give these examples about people who have certain experiences recovering from illnesses. It's not that these are ordinary, extraordinary people, but they tap into something. I see the same possibility with a physical physical.
No, if that example of the.
I when I heard about this, I got a very simple thing that you could actually do myself. And it had nothing to do with either going into whatever physical exercises or excesses or some mental idea. We just need to remind ourselves at the beginning of the thing, and perhaps if somebody felt any time during, to remind ourselves that our bodies are there and it's okay to be aware of them. And perhaps because of my Vipassana practice, that doesn't mean that being aware of the body means that I do what it wants. I can sit still. But being aware of it is, it would just be an experiment. What would it add, or how would it affect our week. And I don't think it would at all detract from, it wouldn't take any time, and it shouldn't detract from our attention to what Raj has presented, so I'd like to suggest that we follow through
on. Philosophically speaking, if I would translate what Raj tried to say, it is very simple. The space of the mind is more flexible, the vital is less flexible, space and time of the mind is quicker, more dynamic. So when we move into that space, to hold on to the space of the body, means to restrict the movement of some kind, yes? And certain, restrict, well, maybe it's a creative restriction, I do not know. It might become a creative. But it is known to us already by experience that it will not allow us to be so flexible and going too far. But maybe be to be more true and concrete to ourselves and to our presence here. It's another matter. It's a matter of experiencing something.
It's like something comes to me from one of the slides about the details.
Right.
And the children that are so present, they surrender so completely to the moment.
Right.
And there's so much information contained in this material that is the vehicle. And I like that idea of being aware and conscious of bringing the awareness of the body, bringing along. It can only be used to inform. Maybe somebody's from the expanded consciousness will land in an intensified consciousness through a detailed observed in the body.
I also, with this remark of the heart and what you said today, with the concentration of plugging into another time, consciousness and creating environment in which cancer can be cured and so on. With this kind of keeping this in mind, if we can really relate to this body, bigger body and smaller body, it could be interesting experience. That's what I would welcome. Otherwise, of course, to do only body work would not mean much.
No,
that's not
what I
heard.
No, no,
I don't.
Just be
with
the
work.
Available to us, the body's one of them. And even if the experiment leads to the conclusion that it supports no extension, then it wasn't waste of time because there was an exploration.
I just want to share something maybe to round it off. There's a film which was just made a few years ago, it's called Elsewhere. And I don't know if people saw it, it travels for 1 year to different tribal people. Every month it's sometimes in the polar regions with the Eskimos, next month it is in the Amazon. And it just is so powerful in its perception of time because those people live, it's happening now. Mm-hmm. Those are the remotest places on the planet. And the power of the field, when you see this film, you see 12 different fields of different, how to say, context and consciousness of those people and what they speak. It's the first time that you have those tribal people also hear what's going on in their mind or in their heart. And it's so amazing to see at this moment on the planet that there are these very different realities and fields, which is the physical field is shared, the vital field is shared, the mind space. The Hina people in the desert are in a very different field and perception than the people in the polar regions. And you see that in one go, it moves amazingly slow. There's a complete different time factor there. Now, translating it to Arabic, we have such an amazing opportunity if we concretize the mystic and the magic also in the, I mean, there's this individual drive of each one of us, but the power of the field, if we hold it aspirational, if we talk about change of consciousness and physical transformation, and if we, how to say, that's what I think what we're trying here also to do. The more that is tuned also in a collective vessel, as it is in a tribe, you know, this completely identification with one frequency basically, then something different can happen.
What was it called in
the Elsewhere.
And is it available?
It's in the library.
Oh, it's really nice.
Yeah, in here in this library. And it moves, I mean, you have to be really patient because you stay with
the. We can also watch if you want together.
Yes, right. Yes, on Thursday.
Would you like to watch it together?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
On Thursday? Is it alright?
I don't know if it's. So I gave it to somebody and the person is giving it back. Yeah, it's 12 tribes. 12 very isolated.
Just one movie.
So it's enough if you see three of them.
Yes, we want to. Do we? Are we going to meet on Thursday before Saturday? 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock is okay?
Yeah. 5:30.
So there will be two options, two movies. One is about hearing, other is about, let's say, elsewhere. So we will choose. And now we will close with a minute of silence, just small minute. Close our time and space. You can find all the materials on our website, universityofhumanunity.org. All the presentations, all the quotations, and even all our recordings.
Where will it be?
Thursday conference.
We'll be here?
5 o'clock we meet on for movie. For we choose which one.
We'll be here.
We take five
times.
It's a few tribes that
we
just
enacted
because it's
not.
I think it's